My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast.
Hello, we are back. Welcome to the EDP F1 podcast as we look ahead to Barcelona, Espanol, Spain, and other such Spanish words. For someone who did Spanish as a GCSE language, I remember none of it.
You can do Spain as a GCSE language.
I couldn't now. I've forgotten it all. Fernando will help out, I'm sure, during the forthcoming weekend. I suppose we would have said Bahrain was going to be a bit of a snooze fest, but we already know what we're going to get from Barcelona. It's that predictable that all the teams have been there so often, they know exactly every inch of that track. Joining me here around the microphone, Perry Hamilton.
Glad to be back. Should I say hola?
Hola, indeed.
We could do hola.
¿Qué tal? Oh, it's all coming back to me now.
Muy bien. ¿Cómo estás? We are multicultural here at the F1 podcast.
There's some Spanish for you. Google it.
We can get by. We're not fluent, but we do enough.
I'm really sure no one out there needs to Google what just happened. We'll also be joined by Rex, my cat. He made an appearance, obviously, in the last podcast. I'm hoping he'll come in with a couple of predictions.
He seemed to be interested in Roman last time.
He was very
Roman Grosjean.
He's hungry, so it's either Roman or food. could be either or. All right then, yeah, 2x2 at Bahrain, isn't it? It's at Bahrain, at Barcelona. It's the track everyone tests at. They know how it works. They've been going there, you know, 4 times a year, year on year, and the cars finish 2x2 because aerodynamically it's the biggest test, isn't it, for the teams. So it'll be an interesting one for the teammates.
Yes, we've already seen plenty of that.
Who's going to take who out of the race?
I look forward to it. We've seen plenty of battles between teammates. We've seen plenty of battles called off between teammates. And we've seen teammates ignore the fact that they're not supposed to be battling. it's inevitable. With the cars that are on track, you're going to, at some point, get someone from the same team line up against each other. And, you know, we look at what we've already had. Battles called off between the Mercedes. We've had Red Bull ignore their team orders. We've had McLaren's come together. We've had Force India's come together.
We almost had the Caterham's come together.
We almost had the Caterham's come together, didn't we, as well? I think the two teammates that are not likely to come together the most is probably the Ferraris. Because could you imagine if Felipe managed to cause Fernando to not finish the race, and in Barcelona, no less? Because let's be honest, now that HRT are gone, the Spanish people don't really have much to cheer for. So
I don't know if HRT made much of a difference with that one. But yes.
But no, you're right. It's sometimes it can be a bit processiony. The teams know it very well. The drivers know it very well. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a terrible race, because I've predicted boring tracks to be boring races so far this season, and they have completely surprised me. So I'm going to go on a limb and say that this one's actually going to be quite enjoyable.
Oh, it's a guaranteed snooze fest then.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, last week we now like to ask this question: who is this weekend most important for? I suppose I said Fernando Alonso last time out because he could set a pattern, but this time out he almost needs to break the pattern that's forming of bad hard luck stories and poor decisions.
I can't help but feel that we keep saying it's the most important weekend for Fernando Alonso because at the beginning of the season we all predicted him for World Championship.
Not so, just us either.
So in terms of making us not look like fools, this is a very important weekend for Fernando. I'd like to point out, I think on the last podcast I didn't get a chance to gloat over this, although it wasn't official in the prediction league.
Oh, here we go.
I said that we would not have a different winner. I said we'd have a repeat winner. I said that there would be, you know, no pattern of having different winners and that someone would repeat, and they did. So, and I think we'll see a repeat winner here again. I think this is going to be taken by someone who's already stood on the top step of the podium, but if you want to find out who that's going to be, you'll have to wait for the predictions.
I think who I would make this weekend most important for is not Fernando Alonso.
Oh, sure.
But probably Romain Grosjean. And I know I'm having a bit of a Romain Grosjean love affair here.
You got a soft spot for Romain.
I like his smile. He's a smiley fella.
He's genuine.
He's the yin to Kimi Raikkonen's yang, most definitely. But it seems to be crucial. He really had a bit of spark about a back about what he was doing in Bahrain. Yeah. And he's obviously been reasonably consistent this year, but quiet, produced a really good performance. And it's really important that he keeps his head and doesn't blow that with some sort of heinous driving into someone in the first two laps in Barcelona. If you can get it together and moreover produce another result that shows a bit of consistency, I really think that that can win over a lot of people who have maybe wondered whether he's actually got the knack of this Formula One luck.
Like DT. DT. Erstwhile colleague on the podcast, DT, who has said that he doesn't understand why Lotus brought him back at all. I think, you know, the podium has proven that he has the ability and he has the skill. You're quite right. What he doesn't want now, I mean, I'm not saying it has to be a podium, but what he doesn't want now is to fade into obscurity and come in 10th or 9th or something like that. There's, you know, he doesn't want to become the next Nick Heidfeld.
Quick Nick.
No offence.
Always gets a mention on the podcast.
No offence to Quick Nick Heidfeld. But he always finished races because he never really made the challenges, because he was, you know, not scared, but he was just aware that, you know, so. But the people that we've seen consistently perform well are the people like the Lewis Hamiltons and the people like the Fernando Alonsos who see the gap and go for it. And it's just a case, without making your mistakes, you can't learn from them. Roman's made a good few mistakes. It looks like he's learning from them. If he makes maybe one or two more this season, that's not going to really call too much into question about his ability, because he's proven these first few races that he can race clean and get on podiums by doing that. One or two incidents this season, not going to be the end of the world for him, as long as it's reasonable and it comes during an attempt at something solid. I don't think anyone is going to, you know, anoint him a failure for trying to make something stick. If it looks like it's ridiculous, then yeah, maybe at that point you need to kind of think, well, somebody needs to have a word. But he seems to be learning from his mistakes so far, and that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, I think if he's trying things later in the race, I think it helps. If I honestly think whatever happens early in the opening laps, if he's involved, people will just assume it's his fault. And I think that's a general perception. And I suppose that's the issue. He can lose so much now if he returns to that kind of failing. Even if it's not his fault, I think he'll be tarnished with that. Same time, it's about kicking on. Like you said, it's about, he's just got a third place. It's about bringing it home in the top five, maybe. Something that will show good progression and good top consistency. And you say, if he comes home in 10th, that's okay. But it's not quite the same. I think he's got a real chance for maybe earning a few kudos points of his own.
Ooh, nice.
And you know why it's nice? It's because it's prediction time here on the EDP F1 podcast, the bit we all love. Forget the racing.
But what about those people out there, Michael, who may have forgotten what we predicted and how it came good for the last race? Is there some kind of league update you can give me?
Well, I can. I mean, I wish I'd forgotten what I'd suggested last time around. Let me tell you what we said for Bahrain, shall I? Perry, I'll come to you first. Please, there'd be no McLarens in Q3.
And how close I was.
Desperately close.
Good Lord. I think, I mean, Jenson Button sounded so happy about that 10th place that I think I'd have been happy if he wasn't in it.
But I think Jenson sounded so happy, he clearly predicted there would also be no McLaren in Q3.
I think Jenson would have agreed. I think he listened and agreed. What they cut the radio before he said, in your face, Perry.
Yeah.
I think he said, that's for me.
So. You got a kudos point for the bravery of that prediction.
The fact that the bravery nearly came off.
It did, absolutely. You said Fernando Alonso would win. That wasn't out there.
That still stand by the fact that could have happened if he hadn't been silly with his DRS.
I think it's a fair point, but of course he didn't. Kimi podium is the one that you did get a score on, so there we go.
And I feel that's a solid bet. If anyone out there is doing your own prediction league, because we are trendsetters, we know that, then I would say getting Kimi on the podium for most of your races is a fairly solid bet. The man just seems to be Mr. Consistent.
Of course, the only one I've got right so far is to say Kimi would win a race, which got me nowhere last year, and it's the only thing I've had any success on.
So what did
you
predict?
Well, I predicted there would be two Ferraris on the podium.
That's a shocker.
You know, Ferrari let themselves down as well as me, to be honest. Valtteri Bottas in the points. I thought that was looking quite good at... No, I didn't think of it. I was hopeful that he might turn 14th into 10th, but it never really happened. Esteban Gutierrez, I said he would his race would end by hitting a wall or a car. I've given myself half a point because his race effectively ended by driving into a car.
Well, then why haven't you given yourself a full point?
Because he didn't retire. It wasn't a DNF. It just effectively ended
his race.
But, I mean, maybe you could say predicting Gutierrez would end up in the back of something wasn't necessarily much of a prediction. But there we go. Because I didn't get anything else right, I gave myself a bonus. And to be honest, I'm not troubling the leaders at the moment anyway. John Luton was here for the first time last week, and it showed. He said that Kimi would win. That Alonso or Hamilton. Oh, we like the Kimi. Rex likes the Kimi would win prediction. Is that going to happen in Spain, Rex? Kimi will win. He has grumbled. He has grumbled there. It was a bit of a noise. All right, maybe not. No, we'll see if we can get more from Rex later. Alonso and Hamilton to be on the podium. Neither of them ended up on the podium, so that was an achievement in itself. And a Vettel DNF, and he did the opposite to that. And John also said that the Toro Rossos would both be in Q3. I don't even think they made barely made Q2, but you got a kudos point for that one, John. So
it was bold.
And Mr. Tilio is on fire, it has to be said, at the moment. He predicted an Alonso win, which wasn't so good. Kimi and Vettel in the top four, which was both correct, and a double McLaren points finish, which was a bold statement given what they've been doing recently.
And a kudos point for him as
well. And he got it. I mean, Jensen snuck into 10th, so only just, but he got a kudos point and the correct prediction for Mr. DT Dave Tillier, which means after four races, the prediction league is Mr. Luton bottom with just the one kudos point. I'm then next with 16.8% and a trio of kudos points.
These are all worked out by a very technical algorithm
yeah. Which you couldn't possibly understand, and I couldn't possibly understand. Jack Phillips then is fourth with 25% from his one effort. Then it's Mr. Tillier, who has 30% and a kudos point, but he has had a go at four rounds, so that's pretty good. Ped, you're ahead of him by 2% or 1.5%. Also from four rounds, with three kudos points as well.
I'm on my way from worst to first. Is what's going to happen. I think I was last in the last season. I was the bringing up the rear. Now I'm going to unseat the Oracle and take my rightful place.
It's very nicely done. Speaking of the Oracle, he is top. Economy of effort. He has a 50% ratio and a kudos point. But of course, he's only been in one round. So he's doing pretty well there. So we need to predict what's going to happen in Spain, I suppose. Will it rain in Spain? That, of course, means nothing. It's just a terrible rhyme.
I predict that the winner who won it last year will not win it again. That's a fairly
I like that.
Clear prediction.
That was, of course, Pastor Maldonado.
Yes, it was, and I don't think he'll be troubling
anyone.
Imagine
if he did win it now.
I'm not. That's not even an official one. I'm just saying I think it's a bit far-fetched. But then, they did come out of nowhere last year. My winner for this race is, unfortunately, this is a track I think that Sebastian Vettel is going to do very well at. A lot of good high-speed cornering. We know the Red Bull's very good at that. So I think there's going to be a Vettel win. I think you are going to see him on pole. I think he's going to go pole and win. And I think you will see Lewis Hamilton on the front row of the grid. And my bold statement, I think it's about time Force India put a car on the podium. And I think we will see a Force India on the podium. I'm not going to say who, and I'm not going to say what position, but there'll be a Force India on the podium. So that's my three. I'm going to go Hamilton front row for quali. I'm going to say Vettel pole and win. So if he wins but doesn't get pole, it doesn't count, Michael. I'm putting myself on the line.
Excellent.
Here.
Good
on the
stuff.
Line.
Good
okay?
stuff.
So I need a Vettel
Specifics.
Pole and a Vettel win, Hamilton on the front row, and a Force India on the podium.
I love
That's
it.
My bold shout.
Okay, that is good work. Well, it feels like my predictions have to be given a bit more thought, as there's only two of us. So let's have a think. I think it will be a Red Bull 1-2.
Ooh.
I would imagine Vettel would win, but I'm not going to necessarily.
Not going to tie yourself down.
No, I think it will be a Red Bull 1-2. I think to predict the third place on the podium is difficult. I also think... No, I don't. I'm going to change my mind. I was going to suggest both Caterhams would finish ahead of the two Marishas, but I don't think that will happen because I think Jules Bianchi has too much about him. So that would lead me on probably to something a bit more obscure. Let's say... Nico Hülkenberg.
Oh.
Finishing in the top six.
Wow.
I don't know if that's that obscure.
No, I'd say Sauber are looking our own line.
So Sauber are looking okay. I think Hülkenberg is occasionally making that car look better than it actually is, to be honest.
Yeah.
Do
you think he regrets his jump? Do you think he regrets his move over to Sauber, who looked much stronger than the Force Indias last year?
No, I don't think he. I don't think he regrets it. I wonder if he is maybe lamenting the fact that the car's not as good as it was last year,
and that Force India have made that huge jump.
This is true. Maybe he does. I mean, he's obviously the one who could. If I was looking at that, I would hold out hope that those things will change. They will switch.
Everything will level out. Yeah.
It will be interesting. I mean, Force India do not have a lot of budget and a lot of money. And when the cars start to develop, Sauber have been very good at coming up with little details and tweaks to their car. Then they did have quite a tough second half to last year. So I don't think he'll regret it yet. I think he might do if it carries on the way it's going.
He might do if my predictions come true and there's a Force India on the podium.
Exactly.
At the expense of a top six finishing Nico Hülkenberg, as you've predicted.
As I have predicted. At which point we'll have to get you and Nico together.
Yeah, we'll word it out, yeah.
I think Sergio Perez will also finish ahead of Jenson Button again.
Ooh, now that's bold. I like that.
I think it's very interesting. I know Sergio maybe went a little bit overboard with some of the things he was doing, but it really rattled Jensen. You might get a major response from Jensen as a result.
Mm.
But I wonder, because I think Checo is good.
Well,
he's good. And he's quick, and he's a fighter. He was feisty.
Strong here last year, wasn't he? He was strong at Barcelona last year, I seem to recall. Very strong.
So we'll have to see. So I can't remember what those are, but I'll listen to them back and write them down. Honest, Gov. As always, if you want to give us your predictions, do so. Just tweet at EDPF1, or you can tweet us directly if you want. I'm at Michael J. Bailey.
Ped. And I'm at PedHD56.
I feel like us two are the ones out on a limb this weekend.
Mm. But then we'll have to get emails or tweets from the other Japs and see what they're up to.
Yeah, we might have to make a point of that. Okay, well, that is pre-Spain sorted. We will be back post-Spain. Post-Barcelona to assess the damage and the success, of which there will be plenty, I am sure. Let's just hope it's an entertaining race, shall we? Great stuff, and we'll be back the other side of it to talk about it. Thanks for your time, Ped.
1 year from our first podcast together, Michael, happy anniversary.
It's been a cracking success, and there will be much more to come.
It's wonderful racing. And if the racing is as good as it's always been, then we are in for a treat for many years to come.
It only gets better from here, mate. Absolutely. Cheers, all you who are listening, and goodbye.